where each week we explore the unknown. And tonight, I'm going to be your host. My name is Christine Kisara Dennett, usually Preston Dennett, my brother-in-law, hosts this show. But we have the rare opportunity to hear him lecture about one of his books. But before I actually get into that, I just wanted to let everybody know how honored I am to be working with him. For almost 20 years now, I have been illustrating most of his books and many of his articles, and I'm really quite honored to be a part of this in his life. He's been an investigator for Mutual UFO Network and others, numerous organizations, and I just wanted to let everybody know that he's investigated, you know, 1,000 witnesses, and he doesn't only work with UFOs, he works with many other kinds of paranormal activities. He's written over 10 books, and some of the books is Human Levitation, The Coronado Island UFO Incident, Supernatural California, UFOs Over California, Out of Body Exploring, which he talks about his own experiences, UFO Healings, which is like a positive outlook on UFOs. But I just wanted to talk about how much he's achieved. He's been all over the United States, and tonight we're going to talk about something really exciting, which is UFOs Over Topanga Canyon. This book that he's written is one of my most exciting books that I've ever read, and he's actually been on the History Channel concerning some of the information in this book. So I'm going to introduce you to Preston Dennett. Hello, Preston.
Hi, Christy. Wow, thanks for the glowing review.
Yeah, I just had to say that. I mean, you've achieved so much, and it seems like 20 years is a long time, but actually, you've achieved a lot for that period of time.
Well, I couldn't have done it without you, that's for sure.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, it's been fun. And, you know, I've been wanting to talk about UFOs Over Topanga for the longest time on this show, but I haven't had the opportunity because, you know, that is, I think, my most popular book. It was written in 1996, and it's still in print. And I still get letters about it. I still get calls and emails from people in Topanga who are still seeing stuff. So it's really one of my favorite books.
So where is Topanga? Can you tell us about the area?
Sure. You know, Topanga Canyon is located between Malibu and Santa Monica. It's kind of west of Los Angeles, right along the coast there. If you look straight out from the beach, you can see Catalina Island. So it's actually got the biggest inner city state park in the world, which is right up there with Griffith Park. So it's a very, very large wilderness area, which I think is significant in why there's a lot of UFO activity there.
And is there currently still activity?
Not nearly like it was. What the book is about, the UFOs Over Topanga, is about a wave of sightings that happened in starting on June 14th, 1992, and it stretched for about 2 to 4 years and then tapered off dramatically. I would say there's maybe 5 sightings a year, but again, most of these are going unreported. When I was writing this book, I was putting out flyers, I was knocking on people's doors, I was making phone calls, I was sending out letters. So I called the police. I followed up every avenue I could, and so I haven't been doing that in Topanga Canyon so much anymore. But
yeah,
if there was another wave of sightings, I'd definitely be right up there to do it.
Well, wow. I mean, it happened in June 14th, 1992 is when the wave began.
Yes. Can I tell you what happened?
Uh-huh.
Because I think it's really an amazing story. And you know what? You were right there with me investigating it. I know you saw some stuff yourself, but when I was investigating it, you were the one who actually suggested to me that it would make a good book. So I have to thank you for that. Because at that point, I hadn't actually written anything. That was one of the first books, actually, which is, well, in a way, it's kind of confusing because some are written and it takes a long time for them to get published.
Well, concerning the sequence of events that happen, it happened so quickly. From what I remember, there was a lot of information that came in.
Right,
fast.
Right. Exactly. Well, it started on one night, which is on June 14th, 1992. This was not long after the L.A. riots. And what happened was I had been a UFO investigator for several years at this point and had already found several people in Topanga Canyon who had seen UFOs, and I wrote an article for the local newspaper, which they published. And then on a couple of years later, on June 14th, 1992, there was this giant wave of sightings on the evening. The newspaper was receiving a bunch of calls from people saying they were seeing UFOs, as was the police. The police received a series of calls. And so the editor of the newspaper called me up, knowing that I was a UFO investigator, and he asked me to investigate the sightings. And so that's how it all began for me. And I found out, you know, it took years of investigation, but to date, right now, I have over 17 independent adult witnesses who saw really dramatic UFO activity on that night, on just that night alone.
Wow. That's really remarkable because of because you gathered all that information in such a short period of time, I remember. And weren't you getting even more accounts of that evening later on?
Yeah, I was. You know, initially I only knew about maybe 10 of the people who had seen this. What's really interesting is, you know, having that many witnesses, these are not people all in the same group. These people were scattered throughout Topanga Canyon, from the south end by the ocean all the way to the north end toward the San Fernando Valley.
Right, and so they weren't talking to each other or getting together, you know, and discussing the whole thing. They're all independent accounts.
Right, right. So from what I could gather, this is what happened. Around, well, it's a complicated story, actually. The police received four calls, one from a couple who had had dinner down by the beach at Gladstone's for Fish restaurant, and they drove north through the canyon and said that they were followed by a flying saucer, which actually lifted up their car. And a second couple was driving north through the canyon, had eaten at the same exact restaurant, and said that they pulled over because they saw these lights, and they saw three flying saucers. And meanwhile, another person is driving south through the canyon at the other end, and he called the police to say he was being followed by these very, very bright lights, which he thought at first were helicopters, except they made no sound and were much too bright. And shortly after that, another call came in from a history professor, a college professor. And he said that he and his wife were sleeping in their home when suddenly they were woken up by the entire interior of their home becoming illuminated by a light coming from above. And they ran outside, and there was this giant globe of light hovering over their house. It was emitting a very low buzzing noise, and maybe it was 20, 50 feet up, not that high. It scared the wife pretty badly. She was pretty shaken up, and so was the professor, for that matter. So
that's interesting because they're educated people.
Right, you know, and it's amazing how people react. You know, if you're skeptical, it can be a very traumatic experience. And even if you're a believer, for that matter. But at any rate, while those calls were coming into the police station, the newspaper was receiving calls. One came from a doctor who lived in the center of the canyon. He said he saw a ball of light shoot across the sky faster than a plane but slower than a meteor. While another person called and said that she was seeing really powerful beams of light being shined down onto the road from above. So there was a lot of people who were seeing this. And that's the information that I got from the newspaper when he called me, the editor.
Uh-huh.
And so that was the information I had to begin the investigation with. And the first thing I did was I called up everybody I knew. I grew up in Topanga. I've lived there for about 20 years before I moved out. And so I called everyone up I knew, and nobody had seen anything. But I had them call their friends. And that's when I got a bunch of leads. And the first lead came from friends of friends. They had actually gone into Topanga Canyon that night, and there was a partial or a total lunar eclipse, I forget. There was a lunar eclipse that night.
Uh-huh.
So I figured there would be a lot of people outside, you know, watching this.
Mm-hmm.
And they went up there to visit friends, this couple. And they said that they were driving home around midnight, and they had just reached Topanga Canyon Boulevard and were heading north in the center of the canyon when they saw four or five what they thought at first were helicopters conducting a drug bust. And as they drove north through the canyon, this is about maybe 5 or 6 miles, they said these objects kind of followed them and were swirling around, and they rolled down the windows. It was a warm June night. They couldn't hear them. They're like, that's odd. Didn't really think much of it until they were reaching the crest of the canyon. And three of these things came really close to the ground and really close up. And the husband joked to the wife, he's like, hey, look, you know, I bet those are flying saucers. And he was kind of joking. And she's like, oh, my God, look. And they were the classic discs, you know, a metallic disc with lights around the edges and colored lights. And what's really interesting is the way they were moving. It was as if they had a height governor. They were following the contour of the land.
Huh. It sounds like an action film.
That's what some of these people were thinking. Some of the witnesses were like, is this a movie? Because I would say maybe 3 years later, I found another witness.
Uh-huh.
And he was driving south through the canyon at the north end. He was at the north end of the canyon driving south. When he pulled over, he and his friends, because they saw, and this was around 9:30 at night. Most of these other calls were much later. So this was going on all night. He pulled over around 9:30 or 10 because he saw this huge bar of light hanging in the sky, pretty much straight up. And around this bar of light were like 10, 20, maybe 30 smaller oval glowing objects, which were darting around it and inside of it and coming out of it. And he was astounded. He said it was so bright that there were shadows playing across the ground.
Wow.
And it was like a 4th of July fireworks show. He's like, is this a movie? He's like, what's going on? He said it started to take a real aura of unrealism, or almost like surrealism. And he's like pinching himself. And you know what's really weird, Christy, is the people in the car didn't really want to look. He was the only one who wanted to look, and they were kind of upset about it.
Oh. How funny.
And he said he
that
couldn't get
so
that.
That is strange.
It is strange. And he says he reacted very strangely, too. He says he should have been up and running up and down and calling the police, but he felt strangely calm. Almost as
so
if there was.
Did this happen all along Topanga Canyon Road, or was there areas in Topanga that were more localized, like, or was it the whole road?
You know, it's interesting you say that, because the UFOs in Topanga have some weird penchant, or whatever you want to call it. They like to chase cars down the road. So most of these were actually sightings pretty much over the road, except for the couple who were in their house.
Uh-huh.
But you know what? The answer to what went on that night comes from another couple who I call Daniel and Catherine, because they don't want their real names to be used. And
okay.
They live on Saddle Peak, which is actually the highest point in Topanga Canyon. It overlooks the ocean, it overlooks the San Fernando Valley, and the entire canyon. And their story is amazing. It was around 8 o'clock that night when they saw these weird pink flashes of lightning. And they're like, how strange, you know, what is that? The husband didn't think much of it, Daniel. But Catherine's like, no, that's weird. And she says, and look, there's a weird bar of light kind of just hanging there in the sky. Actually, it was kind of really low and coming up from behind a ridge. So it was really bizarre. And then darkness fell, and they started to watch a movie. And shortly after they started watching this movie, they started seeing flashes of light. So they ran outside, and they could not believe their eyes. They saw this oval shape of light, an oval light, rise up from behind the ridge, from below, not from above, mind you. This thing was coming down from below, rose up, hovered in the sky, and then darted over the canyon. And as it darted away, a second one came up, took its place, and darted away, and then a third, and then a fourth, and then about like 10 objects came up and darted in various directions. They were like, wow, you know, that's bizarre. They went back inside, not knowing what to think. They hadn't really thought UFOs at this point.
Uh-huh. And that's unusual for UFO sightings, to see that many.
It is. It is, you know, and often people will see one or two UFOs. It's not unusual to see a couple of UFOs in a group, but that many is actually not that uncommon, but these UFOs kept coming. So what happened was they went back inside, and a few, maybe 10, 15 minutes later, it happened again. They ran outside, and these oval objects were coming up from behind this ridge and towards the ocean, you know, towards the beach is where these things were coming up from. And they watched another 10, 20 objects come up. And when it happened the third time, the wife said, well, you know what, I'm going to start counting these things. And so that's what she did. And it happened maybe 5 or 10 times, or, you know, with various amounts of objects. And she said sometimes the objects would come right over their heads, and it freaked them out really bad because they could see this weird symbol on the bottom of what appeared to be a craft. And they started to get very afraid because suddenly they're like, these are not military craft. These are UFOs.
Uh-huh.
And there's so many of them. And they got
you said
really...
there was like over 200, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Is that
well,
what
that's...
she said?
Yeah, she was counting them, and she finally came up with the number 200 when it finally ended. And this was around midnight, and they actually shut themselves in their bedroom around at this point because they were so upset and freaked out. So there could have been more. And she said 200. The husband said, I don't know, maybe, I don't know if it was that much. Maybe there was 100. And I'm thinking to myself, well, 100 or 200, that's either way, you know.
That's a lot.
And you know what? He's like, you know what, I didn't count them. She counted them, so I'm sure she's right.
You said that they were coming out of the water?
They were. I never said that. The History Channel actually implied that.
Oh.
I think that is a definite possibility because actually I found out that there's an enormous amount of underwater UFO activity right off the coast here.
Uh-huh. Where they were looking was off in over the coast, right?
Well, it was towards the beach. It was the lower end of the canyon that these objects were coming from behind a ridge. And they were following all these various pathways, and some were going over the road, and some were going in different directions, and some were going straight up, and some would dart, some would move in straight lines, some would stop and hover for a second.
That's amazing.
It's amazing. So they saw probably some of the craft that were chasing these cars down the road.
Uh-huh. And I know a little bit about the story. You said that you got some recording of the police.
Right.
And I know that the recording's kind of degraded, and it's kind of has to be re-digitized or whatever. But I was curious, how many people called the police?
Very good question, because you know, I know for a fact that there's at least 4 because I have the recording.
Yeah.
Now, which was actually sneaked out, you know, by an inside source. But I interviewed a witness who went to a dinner party in Topanga Canyon, and he said that at this party there was a lady who claimed to be married to someone within the sheriff's department who said that they receive 300 calls a year. And I'm questioning this witness. I said, oh, you mean like 300 forever? He's like, no, per year. They've got a list of people who have seen this stuff.
So they have a list?
That's what he said. And you know, he gave me information that was on the police tape that he could not have known unless he was speaking, you know, the truth. Because that's so interesting. The police tape hadn't been released. And so, you know, I chalked it up like, well, you know, could be, maybe not, because I called the police, and they told me about the incident. They actually referred me calls about two or three people who called the police were referred to me, and I went and actually investigated their cases. But about a year later, after I spoke with this witness, I was interviewing another witness.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, oh, and there's one last thing I wanted to tell you. You know, I went to this dinner party, and there was a person there who was a lady who was married to one of the people inside the police department. And I'm like, oh, no. This sounds like the same story, right, which I heard from another source. And she went on to say the same exact thing, that they've been investigating this, and they have a lot of people who are calling the station, and she gave the same number, 300. So I kind of freaked out at that point. I'm like, well, you know.
Boy, a lot of questions come into my mind, you know, about how much information the police have and who has called the police, and
it's really quite astounding. That came into my mind, too, and I talk about that in the book, and I regret some of what I wrote in the book. I kind of slammed the police department a little bit too hard,
uh-huh.
In my opinion, because I was really angry because people were not being told the truth.
Yeah.
But the fact is the police don't handle UFO reports, and the Air Force, they say they don't. Really, they do, but they will not...
Well, I do know firsthand, because my husband and I saw it, we saw black helicopters.
That's right.
Fly silently past to check on what was going on.
The government so knows what's going on there. Let me tell you this story. It's incredible. Dr. David Phillips is a professor at Santa Monica College, and he heard, you know, when this wave of sightings was going on, there was an article written about it in the newspaper, so there was some publicity. And I wrote a couple of follow-up articles as well. But anyway, I interviewed him, and he said he was woken up. This was during this wave, like several weeks following this, or I forget exactly the date. Maybe it was a couple of years. But it was with it during the wave. He woke up, and his house overlooks the state park. And he's like, wow, you know, look at all those helicopters that are hovering over the park, over this one area. And he saw some official park vehicles going down the fire break at a way too fast speed, a very unsafe speed. You just can't drive on these fire breaks roads
uh-huh.
that fast. And he's like, something is going on. There must be a drug bust or something. So he was curious, and he's just sitting there watching out his balcony, scooting, you know, very low, kind of, you know, below him, because he's at a high level, was this saucer-shaped object. He said it was like a mirror. It was bright silver, like burnished aluminum, if you know what I mean, like a mirror.
Yeah.
And it was totally silent, and it was moving at about 50 or 60 miles an hour, I think he said, in front of the helicopters, obviously evading them, and scooted south down the canyon, you know, in between the canyon walls.
Oh.
So. Now, get this, right? So this means right there that the government knows what's going on. Because meanwhile, there's another couple I interviewed, who I'll tell you about in a second. But they were having visitations, right? And these helicopters, every time these UFOs would come, helicopters would start hovering over their homes, like the next day. And a lot of people called me and complained about helicopter activity during
uh-huh.
this wave. But the real clincher came from a source that I already spoke about, who told me about the police list. He said he found out about another lady who was his friend, and she did not want to be interviewed by me and was very upset that I had found out about her story.
Uh-huh.
But at any rate, what happened to her was she's having very intense encounters involving beings, aliens, coming into her home, a variety of aliens, and a lot of ongoing activity into her home, into Panga Canyon. And she says, she told this guy that I interviewed, that she was contacted by a government agency, unnamed, I don't know who these people are, but some sort of government people, who asked her if she would testify about her encounters in some sort of a court-type scenario. She didn't want to do it, and she refused, and they said, no, you have to do it. And she said,
that's strange.
Yeah, they made her talk about, they made her divulge everything that's happening to her. And not only that, she says she's under constant surveillance. Just the surveillance is just unbelievable.
I heard about her, and not by you, but other people. Yeah, that somebody was being contacted by the government constantly.
That's
over and over.
Yeah, but you know, people who are having these really intense encounters find themselves victims of government surveillance and sometimes abuse, even.
Uh-huh. Do you mention that in your book?
I mentioned that one case, you know, and I've interviewed a lot of other people. In some of my other books, I talk about the government involvement in this phenomena.
Yeah, you should do a follow-up or something because of all the other information that you received later on.
It's crazy, but I've got so much information. Now, let me tell you about this other couple who live in the canyon.
Okay.
They live in the center of the canyon, and it was right after June 14th, 1992, maybe a week after it. Maybe I think it was like 4 days, actually. I forget. But at any rate, this couple was pregnant. The wife was pregnant, and she was pregnant in a very unusual pregnancy. She had twins, but one of the twins died in utero, and the doctors told her that the chances of carrying this other twin were like 1 in 5 million. So the point is, it was an extremely guarded pregnancy.
Uh-huh.
And I found in my investigations, and I think a lot of other UFO investigators will confirm this, that ETs are very interested in human reproduction. I've got a number of cases like this. Like one lady who just had a baby, had an ET try to come into her house in Pacoima, I'm sorry. And my sister, Valerie, she, right after she had her baby, the baby was 4 days old, she experienced a very close-up UFO sighting outside her home in Topanga Canyon. And she said she felt like it was watching her. And I talked to another lady. She was like 9 months pregnant, ready to pop, you know. The baby was ready to come out, and she's driving along La Cienega Boulevard. This is a crowded street in Los Angeles. Lots of cars. When suddenly she sees this, she's like, where are all the cars? She's like, suddenly all the cars are gone. She's like, oh, my God. And at that moment, this giant, I'd say a basketball-sized ball of light swooped down out of the sky, just fell down out of the sky, and started circling her car. And then going back and forth in front of her windshield, and she had the distinct impression it was watching her and looking at her pregnancy and her baby. She became very scared about that.
Wow.
At that second, it went straight up, and she's like, wow, and she peered up, you know, to look and see where it had gone. She couldn't see it, and she looked back down, and the cars were coming back around her. They were just suddenly, like, there.
Oh,
weird,
that's
huh?
So scary.
It is. So this lady, this couple who are pregnant, you know, and they live in the canyon, she's pregnant with this very unusual pregnancy, and she wakes up from this very unusual dream where she's in this craft or something, and there's these beings around her, and they're examining her, and they're telling her all this information about upcoming disasters. She was very political at the time. She was supporting Ross Perot. They told her the political system is going to fall apart, and if you are a part of it, then you are a part of the problem. They said there's going to be a civil war among, you know, people.
In America?
And that's not, I'm not exactly sure if that means, you know, with guns, is what she was saying, but politically. And they were telling her other stuff, like there's going to be a major earthquake and that there's a base somewhere around this area and stuff like this. And then she wakes up and she looks out her bedroom window, which overlooks Entrada. They've now moved away. It was just too much for them to handle.
And Entrada's kind of in the middle of Topanga.
Right. And she sees this. Well, she said it was lit up like a Christmas tree. It was absolutely stunningly beautiful. Colored lights were all over it, and it was landed about 20, 50 feet away on the other side of the road, right next to the road. And maybe about 50 feet long, 30, 50 feet long. And she's looking at it just transfixed when it darts away. And she wakes up her husband, and she's freaked out, and he's like, what, you know, what are you talking about, you know? And it was the next night he woke up and saw this craft and sitting in the same exact place. And the next night it came back again. And so they were freaked out, of course, and they saw this article in the newspaper. They're like, oh, my God, you know, what is going on? And I interviewed them, and they said over the next, all through this summer, the UFOs were coming back every couple of weeks, almost always 3 days in a row. And I actually was sleeping out in that field a couple of times, you know, during this flap, hoping to see things. I never did. But they said these things would land right there, and they were too scared to get out of bed. And they never actually saw them arrive. And sometimes they'd actually fall asleep while it was still there, which is, you know,
a
red flag for a UFO investigator.
Yeah.
Meaning abduction, possibly. And she actually, you know, went to the doctor. You know, she had a normal baby. He was healthy. He had really big, beautiful eyes and white blonde hair and was amazingly psychic. He's like an indigo child, right?
Uh-huh.
Beautiful. But, she said when she went to the doctor, the nurse came up to her afterwards and said, you know, your tests are being sent to some weird government lab. Just thought you might want to know.
Oh, my God. That's not good.
Isn't that interesting?
There goes privacy out the window.
Oh, yeah. Well, privacy is largely an illusion anyway, spiritually, spiritually speaking. You know, everything is going to become known.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, what's going on with the UFO situation, people are going to be really shocked to see how neck-deep our own government is in this stuff.
Uh-huh.
We're over our heads, let me put it that way, which is kind of appropriate for the show. yeah, you know, it's amazing, and a lot of these people are suffering badly from this. And
well, what I love about your book is that you have it in a timeline sequence.
Right,
happened in Topanga.
It's such an exciting story.
Yeah, it would make a great movie. Anybody out there listening, please, you know, give Preston an email and let him know that you want the rights. His email or his website is Prestone. It's Prestone. At packbell.net. That's his email. And his website is Preston Dennett, Dennett, .com. And you can get all this information and order books, and you can email him and talk to him. But this is one of the most fascinating books that he's written, and it's in continuous research. What I'm curious about is the area in Topanga.
Right.
It seems to be, when I look at your map right here, it seems to be very localized in the very center of Topanga, all the activity that happened that evening. And I'm fascinated about that. Do you have any insight on that?
Well, you know, that's one of the main questions is, you know, why is that activity occurring there? You know, there are large crystal deposits in that area. I think the reason we see a cluster of sightings in the center is because this is where most of the people are. Because now I've got pretty much sightings covering the entire area. And truly, you know what, recently I've gotten so many sightings accounts of underwater UFOs and UFOs over the coast there. And I'm actually going to have another appearance upcoming on the History Channel where I talk about all this underwater UFO activity and that's going on right now. So it is spread out. Malibu has had so many sightings. Santa Monica, in 1980, they had a wave of sightings involving this red object. I've talked to a number of people who've been chased by these UFOs through these canyon roads in the Santa Monica Mountains. I think it's the Santa Monica Mountain Range.
You think it's isolated too, because it's so isolated, maybe?
Yeah, I have theories. You know, one of my theories is that they use Topanga Canyon as kind of like a hunter's blind, because they can hide there and in relative isolation, and people can't reach them because these canyon walls, some of them are actually really steep and filled with poison oak and cliffs, and people have gotten lost and actually even killed in the canyon, because in the park area. So there's plenty of areas where they could hide and still have access to a large population base, which is exactly like some other UFO hotspots, like, you know, Hudson Valley area in New York.
Yeah.
So that's one of my theories, but my favorite theory is that there is some sort of a base there. I've talked to some people who've actually been abducted, and they weren't taken inside a UFO and examined and given messages and stuff like this. They were taken into an underground, or, you know, ostensibly underwater, possibly, base. And they saw rock walls. They didn't see, you know, smooth walls like other people see. They saw they were in this giant cavernous area or giant auditorium-like place. And you know what's interesting? Is they saw the praying mantis-type ETs, which is relatively rare. I would say 80% of the people I talk to see some variation of the gray-type ETs.
Uh-huh.
So they saw praying mantises.
Huh. So there's a number of theories, but in terms of the people that you've witnessed, which one do you think really got abducted and had some work done? Like the woman that was pregnant, you think during her experience, you know, they abducted her and had some involvement with her child or whatever?
Yeah, you know, at first she was very alarmed about it and was pretty scared, and they continued to have sightings and all the way through her pregnancy, and finally she told me that she felt that they were actually checking up on her and were trying to help her through her pregnancy, which I found that really interesting. And you know what's also strange is her child one day came up to her and says, "Mom, there's angles in my room." And she's like, "What?" And he kept saying this, "There's angles." And finally he says, "No, angels." She says, "Angels?" And he's like, "Yeah. And, you know, I go and see my brother, I forget his name, Michael or something." And she's like, "Your brother?" He's like, "Yeah, my brother." And she had never told him he was a twin and that his twin had died.
Oh, wow.
So there's some weird connection there, too. And, you know, there's actually a whole, you know, tradition or, you know, there's a lot of cases of disappearing pregnancies and disappearing twins involved with this whole UFO phenomena. This is not a unique case. So what's happening is are people being raised on board UFOs who are intimately connected with people who are being raised on Earth. They're twins. These twins did not die, I don't think. That's my opinion. But judging from the other people I've talked to, I talked to a lady who lost a baby at like 7 or 8 months. She was pregnant, and then she wasn't. I just spoke with another lady who had
and
five
And the baby just disappeared out of her womb?
Yes.
After
yes,
7 or 8 months?
Uh-huh. They called me up so upset.
Oh, I can imagine.
And I did the research. You know, I already knew, but there's several other cases like that. And they had a lot of unusual activity that night, and they had a UFO sighting, so it took them a while to connect it to UFOs. But they got their doctor's reports, which I've seen. So,
wow.
You know what?
Well, the Topanga investigation seems like a great foundation for the rest of your research.
It was really jumping off right into the deep end there. You know, a lot of the first cases I investigated were abductions and things like this, and the Topanga case is probably hands down my largest case and most complicated. The Coronado Island UFO incident was also a very large and interesting case.
Uh-huh.
But the Topanga Canyon, wow. And I just recently spoke with another guy who actually lives in the Midwest, and he was visiting Topanga and was up at Eagle Rock. And I've gotten a couple of sightings from that exact area. And he said he saw this ball of light. And it was very strange. It just went up and darted around and was gone.
You know, I've seen something up there, now that I think about it. I went hiking one evening with my husband and with my girlfriend, and we saw an airplane. It was like a little, you know, buzzy airplane. It was going, and it was flying through, and I'm going, oh, that's just an airplane. And she had had a lot of experiences, and she said, oh, well, you never know, you know, UFOs can disguise themselves. And so we're watching this little puttery airplane fly by. It was a little bright for, you know, just a little airplane. And all of a sudden, a beam of light comes out the middle of it.
Wow.
And just goes down. And we're watching, we're going, are you seeing this? There's a beam of light coming out of that airplane. That sure isn't a UFO. That's a UFO. That's not a little airplane. And then the light went on for probably about a couple of minutes. And then it went off, and then it just flew over like a normal little airplane. So you just never know, you know?
Right. UFOs can disguise themselves. I talked to another guy who said he was being followed by this helicopter. And he's having a lot of experiences, and it followed him all the way home, and he jumped out of his car, and as he's looking up at it, it transforms into a UFO, literally.
Wow.
So, I mean, they can do that, but there is also this whole weird black helicopter thing that goes on with UFOs, where our government is closely observing abductees or hovering over wherever the UFO activity is going on. So, remember, this is one of the most highly classified subjects in the government, the fact that we have all these crashed saucers, not just Roswell, but some 40 or 50 of these UFOs we have in our possession at various Air Force bases, like Edwards, like Norton, like Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. The list goes on, and we've got the technology, and it's coming out. The cover-up is pretty much disintegrating at this point.
Which it should be.
It's about time.
The astronaut, he came out, talked about his experiences.
Right, Gordon Cooper saw a UFO land, or didn't he was there at Edwards Air Force Base when a UFO landed, and he developed the footage and saw this flying saucer land on Edwards Air Force Base. Come on. I mean, and he developed the film, turned it over to the government, never heard back a word from it. And the Freedom of Information Act has not been able to find any trace of it either.
Yeah, which is typical.
Yeah,
you could, like, have a tour bus going through Topanga, and 10 to 1, you know, the percentage rate of somebody actually experiencing or seeing a UFO would be pretty high in that area.
You know, it's surprising. I have taken people out to look at UFOs in this area. And,
uh-huh.
Like, I took the Learning Channel and took a group of people. I believe you may have been there, actually.
Yeah, I was.
And you know, there was a number of people who were having experiences as well, and a light showed up. I didn't get to see it, but it was funny. The Learning Channel, the film crew was like, we need to change the cameras now. We're going to change the film. And as soon as they pulled the film out, that's when this thing showed up. My boss, I actually took my boss out there because he had never seen a UFO, and that's one of the tricks I know. If you want to bring one down, is bring a UFO virgin, as I call them. And because he really wanted to see one, and they're telepathic. These beings are telepathic. They will pick up on your thoughts. And if you go out late at night and, you know, beam out your thoughts, I want to see a UFO, you may be surprised. Certainly he was when he saw this light come swooping down and hover over the ridge briefly. And several other people saw it as well.
Yeah, I saw it. I remember going out with you and a group of people who went out and meditated on the UFO. And this, I guess, was a particularly special night because there were more than one group meditating on these UFOs to come and visit. And your group, what was your group called?
CSETI, the Center for the Study of Extraterrestrial Intelligence.
Yeah, and when we went out, I had my camera on the whole time, and as soon as I turned it off, I saw a giant star just come out from the sky. It just filled the whole sky, lit me all up. It lit up everything on the whole grounds, and I knew it wasn't a flare because flares leave like a smoke trail. And this star was white with the blue center. And it flashed on for maybe 5 seconds, and then it was gone. It just turned off like a light.
I remember that. I was looking at you, and I saw the light through, I think my eyes were closed. And I opened my eyes, and you were lit up like day, and your eyes were wide as saucers.
I
saw that.
Yeah, and that's what it came out as soon as I turned off my camera.
Typical. You know, that's actually happens a lot in these cases, and cameras will malfunction. I remember I was actually in a meditating group one time, and it was the first time I was leading the group. And suddenly I had this really powerful impulse to look up. And, you know, normally when I'm meditating, I try not to do that and open my eyes and disturb the whole meditation. But I just, like, got this feeling, oh, they're right up there, they're right up there, they're right up there. So I opened my eyes and looked up. I saw this pinprick of light appear, and suddenly it grew and grew and grew. It was bigger than the full moon. It was like the way I describe it is as if someone was pouring milk over a glass table way above you, because it filled up a good portion of the sky before suddenly winking out. And I'm like, wow, it was amazing. I didn't even have time to alert people of what was happening. I felt, though, that there was some sort of a weird communication there, like they were saying hi or something. But I found out later that there was another couple driving through the canyon at that exact time, and they saw, this was actually, and they were just north of me, maybe 3 miles, and they saw a craft, and was hovering over the ridge, maybe 20 feet up, and as soon as their car came up right close to it, it turned on its side and flashed all of its lights at them on its belly. He's an aircraft designer. So, I mean, his father is. So he's very familiar with aircraft. And this UFO.
So that must have really blown him away.
blew them both away. Amazing, huh?
That is amazing. Well, I just wanted to remind all our listeners that we're speaking with Preston Dennett, and I'm Christine Kisara Dennett, his sister-in-law. And we've been working together on research and working with experiencers with UFOs and also just the paranormal. But we're talking about one of my most favorite books that he's written, one out of 10 books, called UFOs Over Topanga Canyon. And in case anybody wants to contact Preston, just go to his website. It's Preston Dennett. .com, and give him a look and check out some of his books. But I'll tell you, you just have to get the UFOs Over Topanga Canyon. Is there anything else that you'd like to tell us about Topanga?
Well, if you want to see a UFO, I think that's a good place to start. There are, of course, a number of places across the United States where you can see a UFO. But what can I say about Topanga Canyon other than, I mean, it's a beautiful place. There's only, when I wrote this book, there was no stop lights at all in the canyon, no sidewalks, nothing like that. Now there is a stoplight, one though. So it's a community of about 8,000 people, or probably closer to 10 now because that was a few years back, and. I've investigated over, I think there's over 80 encounters that I know of that have occurred there. And since only one person in 100 reports their encounters, you can pretty much, you know, times that by 100. So
yeah,
we're looking at, you know, at least 1,000 encounters going on in this very small area, which is, you know, it's only like 10 miles wide, but it's very, very long. So it's the whole Santa Monica mountain range. But it's,
well, I heard there was like an energy vortex in the middle of Topanga.
I've had 3 or 4 people tell me that, and some were like very insistent upon it. And you know what? If you're sensitive to energies, you can actually feel it. If you meditate every day, you know, and you can become sensitive to energies, you can feel this vortex there, similar to Sedona, which I think is probably a little more easy to feel. But,
it's so fascinating to me, because the stories that I heard was that it was a reverse spinning vortex, and that it was not natural, that it was made. Now, where they got their information, I don't know. But it's located near Red Rock, I believe.
People have told me that it's located down in that area, yeah.
Near Red Rock. And they said that if you go there, you can actually see the aura of anybody that you're with and the aura plants and everything. I guess apparently this energy vortex is quite large. And I thought, maybe the UFOs have some kind of connection with energy spots.
Well, one guy told me they actually use the vortex not only to come in and out of, because there's an energy line that they can sort of ride, but that it actually makes their ships visible. And this is why a lot of people are seeing them, because actually the ships are flying around all the time. But they can cloak themselves and make themselves visible to whoever they want. And in Topanga Canyon, you know, he told me one people can see it on one street, and right down the street other people won't see it. And that turned out to be the case. I have a lot of family members in Topanga. Some of them were just really upset that, you know, I was saying this wave happened, because they were outside at night and they didn't see it. My brother didn't
see
it.
That is so weird.
My friend, he didn't see anything. I drove through the canyon that night and did not see a thing. So
what
go
a
figure.
Shame. You know, if anything, you're the one that should have seen them.
Oh, I've had my share now. You know, I started seeing UFOs shortly after I investigated this phenomena, and have been seeing them pretty much steadily ever since.
Well, that's good. That's good to hear, and I know I've seen some too, not to the degree that some people I've interviewed and illustrated for, but which is interesting. And if you want to see any of the illustrations that I've done for other people, you can go to my website, which is kesaraart.com, and it's kesaraart.com, and you can go view all of the illustrations that I've done for Preston and for other people, and they're all based on actual events. So please come and visit our websites. And gosh, what a wonderful conversation we've been having. I'll tell you, all those years, it's just amazing to me, you know?
I know. Who would have thought that life would turn out this way? I'm getting so many calls and emails and letters now from people who are having really dramatic experiences. And I just spoke with another lady who's having experiences not 3 days ago, where beings came into her room. She said they picked her up, floated her towards the wall. The wall opened up like a Venetian blind, and they sucked her right up into the ship. And they were telling her all these messages. They told her that there is going to be 2 very, very large hurricanes in the next hurricane season that will rival Katrina. And they told her that there's going to be a massive earthquake in the Midwest along the Mississippi fault line in mid to late October. And she said that they told her about 911 as well, and that it happened, and they've told her other things that have happened. They said that people have identified them as angels and various religious personages, but no, they're the ETs. And they healed her of one thing. She's had some pretty traumatic experiences as well. But she doesn't like it. She doesn't like it at all. She wants it to stop. She's 60 years old.
Oh, yeah. Poor baby.
I know.
Well, thank you, Preston. Thanks for telling us about all of this, and what a great way to end the show with a little bit of a prediction. I highly suggest you make a show of predictions. I think that would be a wonderful thing for January.
Oh, great idea.
Yeah.
I'll have to do that. I know somebody, actually.
But thank you so much, and I know it's 8 o'clock right now, and we're at the end of our show. So once again, you can see Preston's website at preston.com, and you can see any illustrations concerning some of the research that he's done and other people at kisaraart.com. And thank you so much for being a part of my life and sharing your research with me and allowing me to be an illustrator for all these wonderful people that I've met. And my life is just so much more fuller with all this wonderful experience inside of it. So thank you very much, Preston.
Well, thank you. I feel the same way. And thanks for doing the show with me tonight. It was fun.
Okay. And we'll end it right there.